Coming up in just a little bit, we are going to talk with the co-founder of Social Works, that's Chance the Rapper's Charity Foundation, and also the founder and owner of Passion House Coffee. They have gone into a partnership with something that is very interesting for a great cause, so we will talk to them. We are also going to talk to our friends from the Illinois Craft Beer Federation, because FOBAB, the Festival of Barrel-Aged Beer, is coming up, so we'll find out all about that and how you can go enjoy that. We'll also talk about a fundraiser that I am going to be a part of, and, oh my goodness, if you are a rideshare rider, you could be paying a lot more if you are in the city. So a lot to get to, but first, welcome back, Cody. It is good to be here. We haven't been here in a month. Some new things happening at WGN, some new football games being played on Sundays, and so the schedule is a little bit strange, but as you know, people can stay up to date with us on the Facebook page. We always update them what's going on there. But how are you? It's been a long time. You look the same. You got a haircut. You look very nice. Hold on. Where are you? There you are. Did you forget how to turn your mic on?
Yeah.
In all this time?
No, I was going to say, I don't think anything's changed in the last month at WGN Radio. can't think of a single thing.
Listen, people know you. We don't have to. We're not making judgments. We're just addressing. Yes, because people say, "Where are you?" Well, some changes, and so that's why we haven't been around on Sunday. But we're here today. I will address this quickly because I've been getting a lot of questions on Facebook about my feet. People have seen that I've had surgery on both my feet lately. Within the last 2 weeks, I've had it on both feet for hammer toes. And I know there's a lot. See, it's funny because once I came out as a man with hammer toes, Cody, I've heard from a lot of people who have had this same surgery. So there are a lot of people who empathize with me. They know, and now I empathize with them about what it's like. It's been strange. Up until Wednesday, I was wearing one sandal because I had only had one shoe done. One sandal and one shoe, which is an odd look. When I was substitute teaching, it drew a lot of questions from the first graders who really don't observe anything else. You could set something on fire in front of them and they would have no idea. But I walked in the first day with a sandal and a shoe, and you would have thought their world had been rocked to its core. So for all those of you who are asking, thank you. Things are going well. The second one's a little bit sore, but now I'm in two sandals, so I look like a German tourist as I walk around town. I've got my Tevas on with socks, which, if you know me, you know is an anathema to everything that I believe in. It's driving me crazy to wear a sandal and socks, but trust me, you don't want me walking around with these bandaged doggies hanging out without any socks on. So that is that. So thanks for asking. I will be fine pretty soon, Cody. Oh, man, I'll be able to run. No, I won't. I couldn't run before I had the surgery. Why would I? I didn't put on bionic feet. I didn't get those springs like that that runner who had
Inspector Gadget?
No, the guy who was the Olympic guy who was on the blades who got accused of killing his girlfriend. That guy, the Australian runner.
Bolt? No.
No, the Australian guy. You know who I'm talking about. That guy, the guy with the blades. Anyway, so I won't be doing that. My only worry is that it is Halloween season and that some monster will try to attack me and I won't be able to flee. I'll be like everybody in a horror movie. I'll probably trip, fall down. I'll just roll around crying. Oh, no, that's it. Don't get me. Please don't get me. All right, but let's talk about this. Is if you have children in the Chicago public school system, you're looking up that name. I see you looking hard.
I'm frantically looking at Oscar Pistorius.
Oscar Pistorius is the guy. They didn't give me blades a la Pistorius. I still have my same old feet underneath my same old body. But so I won't be. It's not like I'm going to be sprinting anywhere soon. But the thought of putting shoes on again in early November is very enticing. I can't wait. Can't wait. All right, so if you have kids in CPS, you know the strike continues tomorrow. CPS teachers and support staff on strike. This will be the third day of classes that has been canceled. A couple things I'm wondering from you. I want to hear from you if you are a parent of CPS, because I'm wondering as a parent where your sympathies lie. I always tend to side with the teachers. As having come from a family of educators, my mom was a CPS teacher, my dad was a CPS principal, I understand the inner workings of that life. And it's not a great life. It's a life now before people, that's the life they chose. Yes, teachers did choose that as their profession. So, the strike is happening. Somebody asked me this the other day, and it's an interesting question. How do you tell your kids that the teachers are on strike. Because teachers, you know, when a kid goes to school, the teachers are the people that they feel safe around. They know the teachers are supposed to care about them. The teachers are there not only to educate them, but to be a sounding board, sometimes to be a confidant, just to give a sense of security, basically. Everything's going to be all right, you know? That's why they tell teachers, don't get so excited at Christmas break or summer break, because a lot of the kids, school is the only place they have to go. School is where they get their breakfast and lunch. School is where there's continuity. School is where there are adults that are there all the time. So you're not supposed to get all excited, because some of these kids get very anxious around vacation time. And that's got to be happening now, too, because you don't know as a kid what this means. So if you are a CPS parent, how did you tell your kids, how do you explain to them why they're not going to school? Now, granted, if your child is in kindergarten or first grade, obviously you're not going to tell them the same kind of thing that if your kid is in junior high school or high school. Because if your child is in high school, they know their extracurriculars are canceled. They know if they're on a sports team, boy, the games are canceled. And if you're a junior or senior and you're trying to, you know, secure a scholarship, or you're trying to get your testing done to get your applications in for college, this is a bad time for your teachers to go on strike. So how do you explain that to them? So, you know, here's some of the things we know. We know that as with any strike, the teachers want more pay. Now the city has given them something. They've offered a 16% base pay raise over 5 years. The teachers union, it wants 15% over 3 years. Because if you look at just the numbers, the 16%, some other costs associated with that have gone up. Healthcare costs have gone up. So the teachers aren't really getting 16%. Now, listen, I know if you're paying for your own healthcare, which most of us do, or you're paying into your company healthcare, it's hard to drum up sympathy and say, well, listen, I pay for mine. Why shouldn't the teachers pay for theirs? Well, they're not saying they shouldn't pay for theirs. What they're saying is, if you're going to raise our cost of health care, okay, but then you can't say you're giving us this much of a raise, because you're really not. Part of our raise is going to cover the increase. Okay, they also want staffing. If you haven't been in a school in a long time, you know, you probably don't know, there's not a nurse. You know, back when we were in school, there was a nurse in every building. There's not a nurse in every CPS building. There's not a librarian in every CPS building. And I know some suburbs don't have librarians in their buildings all the time either. But a lot of more affluent districts, they don't have to worry about these kind of things. There's also not, they want more social workers and more special ed classrooms. And you would think that these would be no-brainers, because the amount of students who need these services is increasing, so you would think that the teachers would go from there. 312-981-7200. We move into our third day. The union kind of chastised the mayor for preemptively canceling classes tomorrow, but then came out in an email and said, yeah, you know what, she did it a little early, but we're so far away that there's no way an agreement is being reached on Sunday. We, of course, here at WGN are keeping a watch on that. So if anything changes as the talks progress, the talks started again this morning at 11 o'clock. So nothing really has changed. But again, if you're a CPS teacher, I want to hear from you. If you're a CPS parent, I want to know what you're doing with your kids now that they don't have school again, how you're making those arrangements, and what you're doing to explain. And I also think it's nice that the strikes are not as violent as they used to be. And I will talk a little bit about that, too. We'll get to all of it and more on the other side. It's 720 WGN. All right, Brian Noonan, 720 WGN. We're talking about the teacher strike against the Chicago Public School System, the sports staff on strike as well. Tomorrow is the third day. Hey, let me tell you this, though. Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m. Then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events on See Chicago, 10:30 p.m. WGN-TV. 312-981-7200. Wanting to know from you where your sympathies lie. Do they lie with the teachers? Are you siding with the city, going, listen, we do our best. We do our best, and the teachers know what they're getting into, and that's that. Also, if you are a CPS parent, what are you telling your kids? The younger kids, they don't quite understand. Do the older kids understand? Somebody texted in saying, hey, do people know that teachers don't pay into Social Security? That is true. Most teachers do not pay into Social Security. However, they also do not get benefits from Social Security. So it's they pay into their pension and they get their pensions and that's that. So that is a common argument and a common misconception. There are 15 states and the District of Columbia where teachers do not pay into Social Security. Illinois is one of them, but then they do not receive benefits. So I think that's fair. You don't pay in, you don't get your benefits, you get your pension, and they pay into that. 312-981-7200. Ginger's been hanging on. Hi, Ginger.
Hello.
Hi, Ginger.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm well. What do you think of this?
Well, you just brought up a really sore subject with me. I taught for 33 years before I retired, and the Social Security thing. I have enough points to receive Social Security because I was working plus teaching.
Okay.
And in my years before teaching, but you still can't get them.
Oh, okay.
So even though I've got the points, and then when I got divorced, the divorcees get so much from their exes.
Right.
I couldn't get, they would give it to me, but they would take it out of my
It out of your teacher pension. Yeah. See, I didn't know that. I assume a lot of people don't know that. It's a tricky situation. So what works out better, your pension or Social Security? Oh, I think we lost Ginger, Cody. Well, I'll put her on hold. You can see if she's still there. Shy is in Lansing. Hi, Shy.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So my question is, or I just want to make a comment, actually. So I don't disagree with the teachers. I'm a product of the Chicago public school system as well and went on to fortunately go to Northwestern. But my question is, they complain about the fact that there are not enough teachers to staff and the ratio is too high from the one teacher to the pupils and then the nursing staff as well and ancillary services. Would they agree to a lesser salary raise and have the mayor agree to something where she does increase the teachers, increases or hires more nurses and whatever staffing needs that there need to be, like you mentioned, librarians? They're asking for a 15% raise, if I'm not mistaken. So is there some sort of compromise that they can come up with?
Well, they're asking for 15% over 3 years, but that doesn't take into account the fact that their health care costs and some other costs are going up. So they're not truly getting that 5% a year. I don't know. That's something for the union and the mayor to try to hammer out. If there's every negotiation is about compromise. So I'm sure both sides are coming to the table. I can guarantee you, just like anybody else, nobody is going to agree to a pay cut. You know,
no, so, I agree.
So
I agree myself. I wouldn't want to pay cut either.
I'm not gonna,
however, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Their main when they are talking to the media and all that, having rallies and stuff, they're always saying about classroom size and nurses and librarians, and if they get that, no one's asking them to take a pay cut, but there's some negotiation because eventually
they're going to have to figure some sort of negotiation. But you've got to have a building without a nurse is dangerous. Building without social workers or special ed teachers in this day and age is irresponsible. You can't, if you've got one nurse who's covering three or four schools, if something happens, you better hope somebody else on the staff is trained in that sort of in that sort of first aid or emergency situation. Shy, I appreciate the call. Thanks very much. All right, Ginger is back. Let's see. Ginger, you're back.
Yes.
All right, we got about a minute.
Oh, gosh, I could go on for half an hour. Anyway, my main reason to call in, I could go on about the nurses and responsibilities or this or raises. When I was teaching, I was lucky I got a 3% raise, and then they upped our health insurance payments,
right,
which took away the 3%. But anyway, what I was calling about is sympathizing with the athletes. I was a gym teacher when I started many years ago. So I know the importance of it. I know the pressures for kids to get into college using their athletic ability. However, the scouts have been out. They know who's good. They know who's not so good. So if they miss a couple games, it's not going to kill them. But the parents also should have been proactive, and they should already have tapes of their kids playing.
Yeah.
Those tapes are very important to send into the school. So these couple games that the kids are losing out on, you know, it's hard. I get it. But it shouldn't ruin their scholarship.
Well, let's hope.
Opportunities.
Let's hope. Ginger, thanks again for the call. It's nice to see everybody kind of keeping things above board. I remember when when there was a strike, when my mom was on strike and my dad was a principal, he came home once and the teachers had smeared grease all over our car and broken off the antenna because they were, for some reason, they were blaming the administration for all their strife. Now, teachers that I've talked to now during this strike, they realize, listen, it's not the administration's fault, the day-to-day administration. It's not your school principal that is the one who is causing this. This is an argument between the city, the Board of Education, and the teachers' union. So, you know, I'm glad to at least see things are being done in a rational manner. All right, news after this, 720 WGN. Brian Noonan, 720 WGN. Yes, we are back until 5:30 in this Blackhawks hockey on 720 WGN. All right, I drink about a pot of coffee a day because, I don't know, just because I like coffee and I need that boost. But my coffee isn't really doing anything to help the community. That's the thing. I just drink coffee, and it only helps me. And, well, it's time for us to maybe drink some coffee that could help the community. Justin Cunningham is here. He is the co-founder of Social Works. Social Works is Chance the Rapper's youth empowerment charity. And Joshua Millman is also here. He is the founder and owner of Passion House Coffee. Welcome, gentlemen. Glad you're here. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Nice to be here.
So we will get into the partnership that brings you guys here together, but Justin, tell everybody, for people who aren't familiar with Social Works, what does Social Works do?
Yeah, definitely. So Social Works is a Chicago youth empowerment charity founded by Chance the Rapper, Chicago's own, and we empower the youth through arts, education, and civic engagement. But what does that look like?
Yeah.
Well, it looks like for Chicagoans, it looks like five different initiatives that span from education, like our new Chance Fund. It spans from open mic, monthly open mics for high school students, a summer day camp program, Warmest Winter, where we feed the homeless and provide direct supports for the homeless, as well as My State of Mind. So a whole lot of human-centered programs that leverage the community and activate people in positive ways.
How long has the foundation been active?
Social Works has been active for 3 years. Our birthday is August 10th, 2016, so just over 3 years now.
Very nice. Now, one of the things that really struck me is the My State of Mind, because, you know, we hear a lot about mental health issues. We hear a lot about people having access to that kind of thing. And it's not just adults. It is young people, who are affected by this.
Exactly. And that's why My State of Mind is so important. You know, when you talk about the barriers that might be for practitioners, whether it's, you know, paying $60 a month to get your SEO up so you can better advertise to people, or maybe for consumers when they're forced to put these complex emotions into an emoji smiley face. Are you a happy face or are you a sad face today?
It boils it all down. It's
exactly.
Very simple.
And it's just like, we know as humans, as we live our lives, we're really more complex, and we want to provide people a space where they can champion the things that they already love, you know, dogs, art, karate, you know, movement-based therapies, creative therapies. And that's what My State of Mind is: holistic wellness for all. And you don't have to tell anybody that you're depressed or stressed. You know, you can champion the things that you love about yourself, and then that can be an avenue for wellness.
Is it easier to get kids to participate in something like that, where it's, you know, you're not using the labels that maybe would keep them from sharing that, you know, sharing their feelings? If you go, well, I'm not depressed, I don't want people to think I'm depressed, but, oh, well, now I have a different channel to get that out, and nobody's going to, there's not going to be any stigma of a label.
Exactly. And that's all throughout our programming with Social Works. A great example is open mic, where we don't say, hey, all rappers come through. It's, hey, get on stage and share your talent. And what we've seen is PowerPoint presentations, fashion designers coming in from their fashion class, you know, tap dancers, bird callers, pianists, instruments, all types of instruments. So, you know, when you provide that door and that freedom, you know, people come and they show you what you got.
And how did you and Chance get together to found Social Works?
Well, it was founded by Chance the Rapper, my good friend Chancellor Bennett, myself, and Essence Smith. And we've known each other since high school, actually.
Oh, wow.
So we've been
very
together,
nice.
Living in Chicago, experiencing things all throughout life that helped really create the charity that we wanted to see when we were younger.
Was there one? I'm guessing there wasn't one issue that you guys were all together and said, "This is the one. This is why we need to start a foundation." There had to be a lot of different things that went into the three of you coming together and saying, these are things that we need to address.
Exactly. And you get that from just growing up in Chicago, you know, from seeing the makeup, for seeing what's going on right now, the housing and people getting displaced all over. You know, there's a lot of issues that we know as Chicagoans we need to tackle. And we need to tackle them in new, progressive, collaborative ways. And that's what Social Works is here to do.
Well, we're gonna talk more about the programs with Social Works, but I gotta talk to Joshua. He is the founder and owner of Passion House Coffee. Now, first of all, how did coffee come about? How did you become a guy who now owns a coffee company?
That's a great question.
Well, that's why I'm here. I asked the good questions.
I've been in coffee since I was 16.
Really?
Yep. When I was younger, I was into the Beat Generation, Jack Kerouac, Allen Ginsberg, and they were always discussing life and pushing boundaries in a coffee shop. And I was like, man, that's pretty cool.
The coffee shop's the place to be.
Yeah, I want to be in a setting like that. Yeah, so I got my first job in Glenview at Starbucks, and literally,
a place known for its beat poets and hipster lifestyle.
Back then, yeah. This is a long time ago. I'm old, man. I just fell in love with having this creative culinary aspect to it, and then I love being of service, and putting those two together were just like knocked me over my head. I became very passionate about it.
Well, explain to people who weren't familiar with Passion House how you bring the culinary and the service together.
Sure. So Passion House started in 2011. We've been around for 8 years, and recently we just started getting into the retail game. So we have a cafe in Logan Square, a cafe in Politan Row in the West Loop, and then a brand new one on Goose Island, which is just gorgeous. And really what we do is we source the globe. We go all over the world trying to find the best coffees for you out there. And what that has to do is taste, right? So
yeah.
I'm not good at much, but one thing I can do is taste. Like my wife hates going out to dinner with me.
did you always have like advanced taste buds, or is it just coffee? Does it translate into everything?
Yeah, well, coffee is the most complex beverage. It has over 800 compounds in it versus like red wine that has like 500.
Really?
Yeah. So yeah, I've tasted a lot of sommeliers on coffee, and it's really interesting to see.
Oh wow, that's wild. So when did you realize that? Was it before you were 16 that you knew you had this talent to go, I can taste the minor complexities in the
context? No, that's like
because that sound doesn't that sound kind of highfalutin?
Well,
oh yes, do you have your pinky out when you're tasting? It's amazing because I drink coffee and I can tell if I like it or I don't. That's about as advanced.
That's all that really matters, right?
Yeah,
it's just a matter of whether you like it or not. But it's just like trying to become play sports. It's literally just training. So
just
every
practice.
Time you taste, you just like are making like connections in your brain.
Okay. So I know you have Passion House Coffee has a lot of connections to the farms, the various farms. When you first start going out around the world, when you were starting this out, that seems like a gigantic undertaking. Because, you know, all I knew growing up about coffee was Juan Valdez was picking the beans and bringing them down the mountain, and that's how I got my Hills Brothers coffee.
Yeah.
So where do you start? How do you go to these farms and say, listen, I'm starting a coffee company in Chicago, and I want to...
Yeah, well, like, for example, the very first coffee farm I went to right outside Medellin, I met this couple at a trade show. I met them in the elevator, and then next they have a farm in outside Medellin. Next thing you know, they brought me to their farm. The world's becoming a really small place.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's not as difficult anymore, and now, especially because you can email the farmers, you can Viber with them.
Yeah.
It's really it's interesting to see how close you can talk with the farmers without actually even going to origin now.
Do you have to go? Is there good coffee being grown in the States, or do you have to go elsewhere?
So coffee really is only grown between the Tropic of Cancer and Tropic of Capricorn.
Okay.
So right in between, like on the equator line. So the only coffee in the United States that's really growing is in Hawaii.
Okay.
And so, yeah, that coffee's dreamy.
So is it good? I mean, you hear
about it. I think it's a nostalgic coffee, right? When people get it, like especially if they're buying it back in the States, stateside. Right. And they're, I want Kona, and then they get to go back to, you know, rainbows and
that's true.
Surfing.
It's like when I have Blue Mountain coffee, it reminds me of going on my honeymoon, and that was actually the first coffee I ever drank was on my honeymoon in Jamaica, and they were all Blue Mountain coffee.
Yeah, I'm on.
Blue Mountain coffee. And I was like, okay, I guess. It's Blue Mountain coffee. Where do you find it? Where does Passion House, where do you find the best? Is it one place, or do you source it from all over?
So we source it from all over. It's coffee is just like any other agricultural product, right? So there's different seasonalities.
Okay.
So each region has different seasons. So what we're doing is going with the seasons, so buying all in fresh crop coffees, and so it just depends. At any time, we can have 8 to 13 different types of coffees, you know, from Ethiopia, Colombia, Honduras, Peru, Papua New Guinea.
And each of these have characteristics that, for somebody who can really taste the difference, that even if they're subtle, there are differences in all these kind of beans.
Yeah, right? For sure.
Is that from the beans and the climate that they're grown in? Is it the roasting process that you guys do to them? Where do those subtleties really come out?
So really on the farm level. So it depends on what varietal is, what's the altitude, what's the season like, what's in the soil, what else is growing around the coffee plants. Yeah, that's what really imparts the flavor. And then as a roaster, like your goal is just to kind of shine what's already in those beans.
Okay. So Passion House Coffee, if you go to passionhousecoffee.com, you can find out all about what they do at Passion House. You can also go to one of their three locations, Logan Square, Goose Island, or Fulton Market. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back, and we are going to talk about why these two men are in here together. Why is Justin Cunningham from Social Works here? Why is Joshua Millman from Passion House Coffee here? What are they doing? Well, it's pretty cool. We'll talk about that on the other side. It's 720 WGN. Brian Noonan, 720 WGN. In the studio with me, Justin Cunningham. He is one of the co-founders of Social Works. And Joshua Millman is here. He is the founder and owner of Passion House Coffee. All right. So we found out a lot about Social Works. We found out a lot about Passion House. Now, who wants to share why you guys are here together? You've created a partnership.
An amazing partnership.
Yes. Well, I like the adjective.
Yeah.
Yes.
We got introduced first, Essence Smith, who our friend introduced.
Who is here, but Justin, for some reason, made her stand over there. She doesn't get to talk. Essence is in the studio, but she has been banished to just running one of the social media channels for Social Works. And it's socialworkschi.org is the website for all Social Works programs. But, all right, so Essence, you met Essence, Joshua.
We met Essence. And I think really quickly we kind of were on the same level, and I just was really appreciating the energy, and then all the, like, you know, studying what Chance was doing before I had met her, you know, to really understand it. Honestly, it blew me away that her and Nick and Justin are running this non-for-profit that for me just gets super excited, and I love obviously that it's local. And once I met the rest of the gang, you know, Justin's a pretty funny dude, in case you can't tell.
No, he seems very, very humorous, quite entertaining. Still, I don't know. He'll have to discuss with Essence why he banished her. That's for off the air. We'll do that later. But so you guys come together, and you're like, all right, hey, I like these guys. I like what Social Works is doing. And then, Justin, how did the leap come to say to Joshua, hey, who approached who and said, let's do something together?
Well, I think Passion House approached Social Works, and we just started talking. You know, where does Passion House hearts lie? You know, where does Social Works hearts lie? And we found a really nice medium with mental health.
Yeah.
You know, and really this idea that, you know, mental health and mental wellness should be as accessible, you know, as a cup of coffee. You
yes.
know, it's everywhere. But, you know, I'm only going to Passion House. But with that being said, you know, it should be talked about. It should be celebrated. You should have different varieties and choice, you know, just like coffee.
Right.
And we settled on their award-winning, you know, cold brew to go ahead and and support My State of Mind and Social Works, and also share the hazelnut notes that that are inherent in this Cobra.
Now, did you taste the hazelnut notes, or did Joshua teach you about the hazelnut notes?
He taught me about it, but I have a pretty expansive palate.
Yeah,
you know,
very nice.
You know? So I could taste it, you know, but sometimes I do like it with my French vanilla creamer.
Oh, you know? Sure. You mix it up a little.
Yes,
and
I do.
I like to layer the flavors, too. So all of a sudden now, you guys come together in Passion House and Social Works, says we're going to do this. We're going to use the cold brew, and we're going to can it for My State of Mind. So how is it, if people buy this, what, you know,
so
that all sounds good,
yeah.
But how does it come back?
Sure. So we're right now, the cans are at all of our cafes, and then a couple of partners, Paulette's and Goddess and the Baker, and for every can that's sold, 50% of the proceeds goes back to Social Works.
Very nice.
Right, to continue to help with this platform. Yeah, for me personally, starting to work on My State of Mind, just the fact that these guys are trying to remove the negative stigma
and
is just incredible.
We mentioned that before. That's the biggest hurdle, I think, for most people. And I know it's a stigma across the board, but I also know in some communities there's a bigger stigma.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody wants to appear weak. Nobody wants to think that they can't handle things on their own. So trying to open that door and go, hey, it's okay, because you're not, what you're feeling is not unique. You know,
yes.
Everybody has these feelings.
We're all in this together.
Right, exactly.
And there's a whole team on board, you know, with My State of Mind. You have Social Works, you have Passion House, we have Leo Burnett, we have Blue Cross Blue Shield,
nice.
And we have all the state, county, and city regulatory bodies in mental health. So you see the IDHS, or Illinois Department of Human Services. You have Chicago Department of Public Health. And, you know, we're all coming together, the first time they've all come together, to really just set the pace and the precedent of what wellness can look like, you know, for future generations.
And are you finding when... So you have the program, and Social Works has the My State of Mind. What's the first step in outreach to try to get to these young people and say, hey, we're here with this, and don't worry about what anybody else might think about it. What's the challenge there to open that initial door, to get them to take that first step in?
Well, the challenge is finding them first. You know, we can't help
right.
if we can't find them. So throughout this next 2020 year, you know, even right now, you know, talking on WGN, we're going to be showing up, pulling up to places, whether that be the libraries, the parks, you know, the schools, any place where young people may be, and let them know that, you know, here's a resource for you. And, you know, when we pull up, we'll have some cool things to try out as well.
And do you lure them in with the Passion House coffee?
We lure them in with the Passion House coffee.
Oh, yeah.
And then they get jacked up on caffeine and they start talking.
Yeah.
And they're willing to share.
No. It's the music and the good vibes that bring them in. And if you are old enough, have a cup of coffee.
Well, do you have to be older? Do you have to be 18 to have a cup of coffee?
I mean, I don't know.
I was going to say.
I didn't have coffee back in my day. For them, it might have been
my life. I didn't either, but now I see little kids drinking coffee and it amazes me.
Yeah, I mean,
like
maybe
I said,
wait,
I didn't have
coffee
till I went on my honeymoon. You know, so I was 29 when I had my first cup of coffee.
Wow.
16's a good
16,
age.
Yeah, 16,
yeah. Yeah, you know.
So why the cold brew? What made this the coffee that Passion House said, you know what, for My State of Mind, this is the coffee that will work?
It's the same that we do, use our... canned cold brew, Passion Cat. The reason why is this coffee is really, it's just to meet people where they're at. Super
yeah.
approachable. It tastes like, you know, like it feels very familiar when you drink
That's
it.
That's nice.
Yeah. And so that is the first step in, you know, trying to create a place where people feel safe.
Yeah.
You know, and that's everything they're trying to do. And this cold brew just, like, you know, puts you right there.
Very nice. So again, you can get the cans of My State of Mind, the Passion House Coffee, and Social Works team of coffee. You can get those at the Passion House Coffee locations in Logan Square, Goose Island, Fulton Market Warehouse. I'm sure on passionhousecoffee.com and also on socialworkchi.org, you'll have a list of where else they can find this.
Yeah.
And it's 50% of all the proceeds go back to My State of Mind.
Yeah, if I could just add one thing.
You can, sure.
If you don't have the ability to get these cans, please ask your local retailer, because you got to realize the best thing for you guys to do is help buy it, and let's raise some real kind of money for My State of Mind. So please let people know, and let's get this out there.
Socialworks, CHI.org is where you can find out all about My State of Mind and all of the other great programs that Social Works is doing. And PassionHouseCoffee.com is where you can find out all about Passion House Coffee. Guys, it's been great having you. Justin Cunningham, one of the co-founders of Social Works. Good luck with this. Good luck with the rest of the programs you have. Good luck dealing with Essence when you leave here, because this could be I don't know. And Joshua, thanks for coming in today. It was great meeting you guys. Good luck and keep up the good work, because this is all of these are very important programs, and I wish you nothing but success. So
thanks for
coming
in.
Don't forget socialworkschi.org and passionhousecoffee.com. All right, on the other side of the news, we will talk about your Uber ride and how much it could cost you if the mayor gets her way. Maybe it'll change how you do things, maybe it won't, but we will find out on the other side of the news right here on 720 WGN. Just a quick programming note, I will be in Wednesday night at 10 o'clock from 10 to 1. So you can join me then, and then on November 1st, I will also be here from 10 to 1. So hopefully you will join us then, and as I said, keep updated on Facebook to find out when the Sunday shows. There's with sports and things, the schedule's a little screwy, but we always let you know when we're back. Just a follow-up, this got a lot of buzz, more so than our good friends and the My State of Mind coffee that you can get. It's with Social Works and Passion House Coffees, their collaboration, which is wonderful. The news coming out, and I'm surprised that our award-winning news team has not covered this, but Chicago has followed Oakland, California's lead and has now decriminalized psychedelic plants. So this I don't know how this came up between my guests. And Cody, you were very excited about this news as well.
I wouldn't say excited.
You seemed very excited, and I was shocked. To be honest, I was shocked by the level of enthusiasm you had for people who take the magic mushrooms. The city of Chicago became the latest U.S. city to effectively decriminalize psychedelic plants and fungi. Members of Chicago's Committee on Health and Human Relations unanimously passed, quote, a resolution supporting entheogenic plant practice, declaring that the investigation and arrest of individuals involved with the adult use of entheogenic plants on the federal Schedule 1 list be amongst the lowest priority for the city of Chicago and the Chicago Police Department, end quote. So Denver and Oakland already doing that.
I just can't believe this flew totally off my radar.
Now, see, I understand it not even being anywhere near my radar. I don't even think I've ever, I know I've never done mushrooms. I don't think I've ever even seen mushrooms, because I am like they used to say, I'm an L7. I'm a square. I don't know anything about that. I know that, you know, there was the rumors, the urban legends of people going out into cow pastures and finding mushrooms in piles of cow dung and, you know, drying them out and selling. Oh, man. Oh, all the mushrooms. But I don't know anything about it.
Well, I don't know much about it. I don't know enough about it, but did I ever tell you my Amsterdam story?
No, but please, please share.
All right, real quick. So I'm in Amsterdam a couple years ago with my wife and...
With my wife. You and Borat going to... Why were you traveling with Borat to Amsterdam? That is really the biggest question. Why would Borat do mushrooms?
Because it was very nice.
Very nice. So high.
My wife and I, we did a little Germany tour for like a week, but we flew in and out of Amsterdam for various reasons.
Because you wanted to go to the Red Lake District.
Yeah, overrated.
Sure. Oh, is it?
Yes.
Sure. The swing, not what they sell you on the postcard?
It's like, eh.
Okay.
I don't know. It's a thing. Whatever. Anyway, I'm there. And you walk into some shops, and like Amsterdam has this reputation for being, you know, really drug happy.
Right, that everybody's going into a cafe and doing hash and getting high and the whole, you know, everybody's either with a hooker or with a drug dealer. That's basically what I think. When I think of Amsterdam, that's what I think.
It has a really...
Are there canals?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's okay. Yes.
So canals, hash, shrooms, and hookers.
And the Van Gogh Museum.
And the Van Gogh.
The most effective museum I've ever been to.
I could only hear the tour out of one side of my head, though.
Hmm.
Weird. Go ahead.
So I'm in Amsterdam, and I walk into this shop, and it's selling all these quote-unquote recreational drugs.
Why quote-unquote? Because some there was no recreation involved. These were professional drugs.
Well, they claim things like, oh, you'll have mild hallucinations, or oh, you'll be on this, like... on this mild high and you'll be relaxed and all these things. And I'm like, we're going to be in Europe for a week. Let me buy a couple of these weird little trinkets and see what happens.
Let me ask if I can clarify, and maybe you asked this question in one of these cafes or stores. What constitutes a mild hallucination? Because I think any hallucination to me is going to be a major ordeal where I'm like, what is going on? Why is there a giant elephant wearing a beret and tap dancing coming at me? That's I think hallucination, that's what I think.
I think what it means is sometimes patterns get kind of...
Wait, are you hearing those bells? I thought maybe we were orally hallucinating. That's what was happening. Yeah, we are the third largest city in the United States. Chicago will likely be viewed as a major milestone to scientists, drug policy reformers, and psychedelic and entheogenic plant legalization advocates. All right, back to Cody.
Yeah, sorry. That's
all right. You're producing.
Yeah, I'm getting lots of phone calls.
But they don't know where they're calling or what's going on.
It's very confusing.
They're shocked that there's another voice.
I believe the hallucinations refer to, let's say you're looking at a wallpaper with a lot of patterns on it. Maybe they'll move or maybe they'll look kind of different. So
all right.
I get all these various...
So you're saying you shouldn't wear paisley shirts?
Probably not.
All right.
Probably not. I look at these, you know, so over the week we took these various quote-unquote, you know, mood enhancing, whatever.
You wanted your mood enhanced.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I don't know, you know, when in Rome, but when in Amsterdam and, you know, given a bunch of, you know, and none of them said that they were drugs. They were just like supplements, kind of. It was like you walked into like a GNC, but instead of making you stronger, it would just like make you have more fun or something.
Yeah.
I don't advocate this. Never do this in Amsterdam. So over the course of that week, I sampled a few of these things, and none of them did anything, except maybe make you more tired.
Okay.
One heated up my body temperature briefly before making me tired.
Really?
They were odd things. I don't know. And they're just like, oh, it's like walking into a Walgreens. They're not.
It's not a seedy, you know, dark. There's not a lot of red velvet curtains and guys in trench coats.
No, it's right there in the tourist district. It's like you're walking into one of those shops that just sells a bunch of magnets and keychains and shirts. But it was weird supposed drugs. So none of these do anything. So the last night I'm in Amsterdam, my wife flew out early. She left that morning, Saturday. I've got Saturday afternoon. I go to the Van Gogh Museum. I'm kind of relaxing. And I have one left that I didn't try. And it was this little tin labeled Magic Truffles.
Okay.
And it was explained to me by the shopkeep that he's like...
The shopkeep.
He's
the old-timey shopkeep?
Yeah. He's like, well, magic mushrooms are illegal in Amsterdam and various places, but magic truffles aren't. This is how it was explained to me. And he's like, but they'll do the same thing. I'm like, okay. And I'm reading the instructions. It's like, oh, only take a little, blah, blah, blah.
Were they like IKEA instructions? They were just stick figures getting high?
Pretty much. Pretty much. You know when you walk into the place and you buy like a tin of Altoids?
Yeah.
This is basically what they're in. Like, this isn't some illicit, like, dark, you know, black market place. It's literally like if you walked on Michigan Avenue and you go into the Wrigley Building Walgreens. So I look at these magic truffles. And I'm like, none of the other things I got this week did anything. So I'm just going to take a bunch of these and see what happens. That was one of the biggest mistakes I have ever made.
That sounds like a... bad advice for anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Be real careful if you ever get your hands on magic mushrooms or truffles, kids, because wow.
So did they tell you what the difference is between a magic mushroom and a magic truffle?
They said it's essentially the same thing because it has the same psychoactive elements.
Does a pig have to go hunting for these truffles like they do for other kind of truffles or dogs or pigs? Do they have to dig them up? Do we know?
I don't know
why that's important.
But you got pigs? Like, are there feral hogs?
There's truffle hunting pigs.
Are there really?
Yes.
How do you know this?
I know things. That's what I do. As me and Tyrion Lannister, I drink and I know things.
You sure do.
I just know. Yes, there's truffle hunting hogs.
Wow.
So you took a fistful? What would you say? Softball size? Would you like an apple? How big was the truffle that you the hallucinogenic truffle that you ate?
It was like the size of a one stick of the Kit Kat bar, or like a fun size Snickers.
Okay,
it wasn't that much.
Okay, so what is it? You take it because you don't know what it's going to do to you.
Yeah.
You take the whole thing.
That's an amateur mistake.
That's not a pro move.
Yeah.
Not a pro move. So you take it, and what happens?
Everything.
Were you naked running down the streets of Amsterdam? Did you buy wooden shoes? Did you try to put your finger in a dike to stop a flood? What happened?
I sat there in the hotel room, and the wall the wallpaper had these kind of like diamonds on them. And boy, those diamonds moved real fast.
Really?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Everything moved real fast. And when I closed my eyes, I was remember the end of 2001, A Space Odyssey?
No.
All right. Well,
Never saw it.
Really?
Nope.
Really?
I know Hal. That's all I know.
Okay.
And I know Dan.
Close the door, Dan.
And you've never watched Doctor Who?
No, I know he has a big scarf and a phone booth. I know a little bit about a lot of stuff. I didn't say I know a lot about everything.
Have you seen The Big Lebowski?
Of course. I just saw Big Lebowski the other day.
Okay. It's the Kenny Rogers music video. It just got, you know, my condition. I just dropped in.
To see what condition my condition was in. Yeah.
Yeah. That. Okay. Basically, that music video is my life.
Okay. All right. See, now I get it.
Yeah.
So that was, and how long does this last? Were you able to get on the plane? Did you have to go through customs that way?
I had to call my wife, who is fortunately awake in the United States. And I said, are you awake? Are you able to take a phone call? She said, yes. I'm like, good, because I may actually go insane. And then I talked to her for, I think, 3 hours. It's a little hazy from there.
All right. What did this all cost you? What did this nightmarish experience cost?
It was like $10.
$10.
I'm telling you, like it's just when it begins. So maybe that's the life lesson we need to take, is that, you know, I don't think this stuff should be criminalized. I think that people should be able to, you know, experiment mildly with things. But when you make it too accessible, that could lead to some problems.
Well, that's, you know, that's why I haven't. I've been in some states where marijuana is legal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, I debated. I was like, well, I've never done it. Should I get some edible? And I just haven't, because I'm like, it's. But now, if I were in Amsterdam, if I was in a foreign land,
yeah,
I'm not governed by the laws of the United States. Really, I'm just an expat for that week. Maybe I do it then. Maybe I go crazy.
And on the edibles labels, they always say, here's the recommended dose. Take the recommended dose and then do not take more.
Yeah, just wait. Because people take them and go, nothing's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then 15 minutes later, oh, good Lord. Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah.
You know who else is going to be yelling, oh, good Lord? Everybody who gets into an Uber or a Lyft pretty soon.
Uh-oh.
Yes, we'll talk about that on the other side. How'd you like that segue? Oh, I still got it. Even after all these weeks, I can still do a segue like nobody's business on WGN. All right. I know Cody is a big rideshare user, Uber, Lyft. I have also used Uber and Lyft. I know I will be using it soon when we go to FOBAB, the Festival of Barrel-Aged Beer. We will be talking to folks about that festival after 4:30. I will definitely be taking an Uber there, Cody, and on the way home. But it may start costing more. Did you see this? The mayor has proposed a $3 tax on solo rideshare trips downtown. If that is passed, Chicago will have their highest rideshare fees in the country. When you hear this news, I'm wondering, do you think it's going to change your habits? Now, for me, it's not a big deal. I take rideshares very, very seldom. The mayor is saying, listen, we got to do this because it's going to fight congestion. And the rideshare companies are going, well, the mayor doesn't know what causes congestion. Well, I'm going to guess that what causes congestion is more cars and people. And there are a lot more cars because of these rideshare programs that, for the most part in Chicago, have been relatively unregulated since they got here. So the mayor is trying to raise some money. The city has, over the last number of years, gotten a lot of tax money from these rideshare companies. But they're going to change it. According to the mayor, a number of cities are moving toward fees of different kinds, and in particular, fees that are focusing on the congested core. This is from a consultant in New York who has studied the side effects of ride shares on traffic congestion, and that's the main point that the mayor is making. As I said, she wants to reduce congestion in the loop. So if you are getting in, if you are going to or from the loop between 6 a.m. and 10 p.m., there is a proposed $3 fee if you are going to ride by yourself. Now, you take sometimes these Uber pools, right, Cody? You will ride also with other people?
Yeah, sometimes.
And if it was going to cost you $3 more to ride by yourself to come into the loop, would you always take the pool, or would you say, forget it, I need to take the, I'll pay the $3? Because I'm thinking this is going to change people's habits. Because, you know, they're going to drop the tax down to 65 cents, but then they're going to add on this extra fee.
Yeah, I mean, to me, you only order an Uber for yourself if right. you are in a hurry. Otherwise, you're going to save sometimes $10 taking a pool. Sometimes,
really?
So if it's a longer trip, but right. $5 to $10. I, for one, am really happy with anything that will reduce the congestion from these rideshares. I see rideshare drivers blowing through stop signs, mm-hmm. cutting off traffic,
doing illegal U-turns.
Just in my neighborhood, stopping.
Yeah,
it's unsafe, and like these companies are paying their drivers so poorly that I don't blame them for speeding through stop signs and cutting corners and driving dangerously. And I'm glad that person is studying the effects of ride shares on communities, because yeah. I think there's a net loss for a lot of reasons.
Well, the city has seen a 271% increase in ride share use in the past couple of years. So people want to do it. And, you know, it all came in because people thought it was a more economical way. You can demand it on your own. You can feel important because it's your own private ride. Cabs were getting a bad rap because they were dirty or they smelled or the credit card machine didn't work. And with the advent of Uber and Lyft, you could do everything from your phone. You never had to worry about money. You never had to worry about a credit card machine not working. You were dropped off exactly at your house and picked up exactly at your house. You could tell people where you were going to be. There were a lot of things that made this very attractive to people. The big bill of goods that was sold to the city and to a lot of people was, oh, listen, these rideshare companies, they're going to really help neighborhoods that are hit hard by poverty and where cabs don't want to go. Mass transit might not go to these neighborhoods. Cabs don't want to go to these neighborhoods. However, the statistics don't bear that out. Most of the rides in this city are in the Loop, Lincoln Park, all the fancy neighborhoods. They're not going into poor neighborhoods. They're not going into dangerous neighborhoods. They're going in the Loop, near North Side, near West Side, Lakeview, and Westtown. That's where 4 out of every 10 passenger pickups are going.
Wow.
So it's not as great as everybody would want you to believe, but you know, I think it would drive more people to, like you said, take the Uber pool, which just right then makes me say there is not a chance I will ever, you know, The whole thing bothers me.
You don't like people.
I don't like people. I don't like not driving. I like to be in control. The only time I will not drive is if I know there is absolutely no way I should be driving. Like after FOBAB, and we will talk all about FOBAB with the Illinois Craft Brewers Guild and Kevin Carey, the award-winning brewer from Beguile Brewing. We'll do all of that on the other side of the news right here on 720 WGN. Brian Noonan, 720 WGN. We're here for about another hour, and then it's Blackhawks hockey on 720 WGN. It was funny. Cody was sitting here, and you know Cody. He likes to be chatting. He likes to be gas-bagging a little bit, and then all of a sudden he was like, I got to go get the guests. So he ran out to get our guests. In the meantime, we were talking about Uber and Lyft and the proposed tax increase from the 630, no Uber pool. We make so much less money and literally no pool rider ever tips. Yes, you should tip us like a taxi. Yes, I think you need to tip if you're in a pool or if you're even riding by yourself. Cody has run out to the studio. He has come in with people. I always like to see people. One of these people, welcome. Danielle D'Alessandro is here. She is the executive director of the Illinois Craft Brewers Guild. Good to see you again, Danielle. And Kevin Carey is here. He is the president of the guild and also the man behind Beguile Brewing. We really need to update your picture on the Craft Brewers Guild website. That is, I looked through and I'm like, that's not Kevin Carey. I know Kevin Carey, and that's not him at all. But this was before you fully gave yourself over to being a craft brewer, back when you didn't have a beard and you had short hair. And then what did the other brewers tell you? Listen, you can't be one of us unless you grow your hair long and get a beard.
Yeah, that was actually corporate Kevin.
Corporate Kevin.
Yeah, that was accountant Kevin.
Really? And yeah. Now you're brewer Kevin, which is...
Oh, now I'm brewery owner.
Brewery owner.
That was right. Actually, I think I was brewing back then, right. But now I've been demoted to brewery owner.
Brewery owner. Well, yeah. That's all right. I want to congratulate you. Beguile, big news coming out of the Great American Beer Festival. gold medal for your barrel-aged Imperial pajamas. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, that's correct. We won 2 weeks ago at the Great American Beer Festival. I brought us some gold medal winning beer.
Ah, we love gold medal winning beer. Very
so
nice.
So we were super excited. It's a very highly contested category. There was 172 entries.
Holy cow.
And we were super ecstatic to win. So
now, besides being proud, obviously, of your own work, and that's, and you go back and you print out new labels, and now Imperial Pajamas, because I have a bottle of the with the regular label, so it's nice to see the new labels. What does that mean for a brewery in practical terms? What does it mean, like, for you within the industry? Now people look at you a little bit different. You get to puff out your chest a little more. How does that, maybe you go back to getting the, you know, corporate Kevin look, because now you're going to be a big shot. What happens when you win a gold medal at the Great American Beer Festival?
Oh, man. Well, we don't know quite exactly what it'll mean, but I can tell you the last 2 weeks have been pretty great.
I can imagine. So everybody's trying to get it, first of all. I'm sure consumers want that beer now nonstop.
Well, cool thing. So we package still in 22 ounce. Oops, excuse me, I slipped. we package still in 22-ounce bottles, and everything's shifting to cans.
Okay.
So coincidentally enough, when we won, we actually still had a pallet of beer in inventory. So I don't know if it was because we pulled it off the shelf for sale and we're kind of holding on to some, or if it was because bottles sell a little bit slower now.
Okay.
But the day we won, we put the bottles out for sale. So
boom.
It was really cool to have it left over. We were really proud of this particular batch when we released it last year. And yeah, we happen to have a pallet left, so it's been on tap for the last 2 weeks, and it's been for sale. And one of our things about it being a brewery is that we always, we've always tried to be approachable.
Okay.
And I think everything about this beer and winning this medal is like the crossroads of that, of being.
Yeah.
So we won a prestigious category with a beer that this is actually our most expensive beer that we make.
Okay.
And so to have all that, but then also a lot of times if a barrel aged beer wins, it might not be available at retail.
Okay.
However,
this,
you
one
know,
was.
The stars aligned, you know, and it kind of goes to our ethos of being approachable. So to be able to the same day put the bottles out for sale and be like, this is the beer that we won with. So
not bad. Now, and I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but FOBAB, the Festival of Barrel Aged Beer, is coming up November 9th. Will people be able to taste some of this gold medal winning Imperial Pajamas at FOBAB?
They will. Thanks. Yes. Yep. See, we entered two versions of Imperial Pajamas this year, barrel aged Imperial Pajamas. We're doing just the straight barrel aged version, and then we're entering a baklava version.
Ooh. Sounds tasty.
Which is honey, pistachio, and cinnamon.
Ooh.
So some people might say that's blasphemous to take our gold medal winning beer and put all those things in there, but we disagree.
I can see both sides.
It's for fun.
You know, you guys, brewers, and I've said this many times, brewers are mad scientists. You can't let well enough alone. You got to look at it and go, wow, this is obviously a really good beer. Let's see if we can make it even better. Let's change it up a little bit. So Danielle D'Alessandro is here with you. She is the executive director of the Illinois Craft Brewers Guild. Danielle, tell people who aren't in the know what the guild is about. What do you guys do at the Illinois Craft Brewers Guild?
Sure. Thanks, Brian, for having us on. I was just going to know quickly, though, that when you attend FOBAB this year, you will have to try both of both of Beguile's entries, and you can be the judge.
Well,
on,
if you twist my
which
arm,
one,
I guess
which,
I
which
will
one you
give
enjoy
in.
More. if it really is blasphemous to change the award winning beer.
But I'm sure Kevin, as a brewer, is not going to want me to go, you know what? I'll tell you something else. After having sampled some other, I think you should have left it as it is. It was good the way it was. Mm-hmm. I did. I will say though, last year, and I won't name the brewery. I know these guys, and I had had one of their beers at FOBAB, and I was like, And then later, they had it at their tap room, but not the barrel-aged version, just the regular version. And I tried it, and it was fantastic. And then the next time I was there, after I said, oh, I had this one again, and I said, you know what? I got to tell you, I love this. He was like, yeah. I said, I didn't really, you know, at FOBAB, he goes, oh, yeah, we didn't like it either. That brewer knew that it was not the best, because some beers, They really don't need to be barrel aged, right? People are just trying to.
And the flavor just changes
over
time.
Yeah, it doesn't.
I think, right, Kevin, your award winning beer was 2018.
Yep. So due to the cycle of entering into GABF, our beer was about 10 months in the bottle at the time of when we entered it. So
That's a long time. Is that a long time or no?
For a dark beer, for a barrel-aged beer, some people will keep them for upwards of 5 years and try to drink five. Then they'll say five and drink five at once.
Okay.
You'll do five different years, and they call that a vertical. But for this, it's actually...
okay.
It's not a long time for a barrel-aged beer. It actually helps it mellow out a little bit. So the bourbon will subside. Sometimes when you pull a barrel-aged beer out of the barrels, it might taste hot, or okay, you might get a lot more whiskey than you're intending to. So,
but
some,
are they meant to be? I mean, once you bottle it, I can drink it, right? It's going to be good. I don't have to age it.
Absolutely.
When you guys put Imperial Pajamas in the bottle, it's ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's not changing like dramatically, in 10 months. It's just that, when we bottle it, we'll bottle it 3 weeks before we release it, and we feel like it's ready at that time. But you can sit on it for a little while and just see how it mellows out. And I think some of the darker malt characteristics come out over time. Uh-huh. So it's kind of like, it's very similar to aging wine.
Yeah.
They get complex or gain complexity over time. And darker beers tend to do that really well.
Okay. So let's go back, Danielle, to the,
yes,
to the guild.
Yes,
so tell
thank
us,
you.
Tell us about the guild, of which this young man is the president.
Absolutely.
So what do you guys do?
Yeah, I'm so excited about our Rock Mine Festival that I just almost dove right in.
That's all right.
So the Illinois Craft Brewers Guild is the trade association that represents all of our small and independent breweries throughout the state. We focus on three areas: advocacy, so legislating, advocating for laws down in Springfield that promote our industry, promotion, so hosting festivals or events, in particular our largest festival, and consequently fundraiser next month, our festival of wood and barrel aged beer, and then education. We host an annual conference and trade show, and then we provide various opportunities throughout the year for our brewers to take advantage of different technical seminars. So we're here to promote the industry and the development of craft breweries across the state.
And is there any, I know last time we talked, there were some legislative moves that were being undertaken by any new news on the craft beer front?
I would say that there was one law that we worked that we were very involved with this past session, and part there were two parts. One is the ability for commonly owned brew pubs to combine their barrelage to have a little bit more flexibility in their production schedule.
Okay.
Brew pubs, just like Class 1 brewers and Class 2 brewers, are capped on their annual production, and so this allows again more than one commonly owned brew pub to combine that barrelage to then have greater production flexibility at one location over the other. And that really benefited a couple of our members that had two or three brew pub locations. And then the second piece of that was extending or codifying, I should say, into state law, the ability for breweries and brew pubs to fill and sell growlers or crawlers.
Okay.
So those 32 ounce or 64 ounce, crawlers, and the 32 ounces tend to be cans, although you see some glassware in the form of jugs, and then those growlers, 64 ounce, kind of like your milk jug, to fill and sell those, but then also extended that privilege to on-premise retailers, so your bar, restaurant, not off-premise retailers like a Binny's or a liquor store, as long as they're meeting pretty extensive cleaning and sanitizing, filling, and sealing requirements. Okay.
Right, very nice. Let's take a quick break, and then we will come back, and we will talk all about FOBAB, the Festival of Wood and Barrel-Aged Beer. It is an unbelievable festival if you are a fan of this type of beer. You can go to FOBAB.com to get information on that. You can go to IllinoisBeer.org to get all the information on the Craft Brewers Guild, and you can always go to BeguileBrewing.com to get all the information on Kevin Carey's award-winning beers and all the other offerings at Beguile. Danielle D'Alessandro is here. She's the Executive Director of the Illinois Craft Brewers Guild. Kevin Carey is the owner of Beguile Brewing. We will talk all about FOBAB on the other side. It's 720 WGN. All right, we are talking beer, in particular wood and barrel-aged beer, because FOBAB, the Festival of Wood and Barrel Aged Beer is coming to the UIC, is it the Pavilion or the Forum? Yeah, the
Forum.
The Forum on November 9th. There are three, it's actually the 8th and the 9th because there is a tasting session on Friday night. There are two sessions on Saturday. Danielle D'Alessandro is here. She's the executive director of the Illinois Craft Brewers Guild. And Kevin Carey is here. He is the owner of Beguile Brewing, who just won a gold medal for their Barrel Aged Imperial Pajamas at the Great American Beer Fest. That is one of the many, many beers, over 400 beers, if I'm not mistaken, are going to be represented at FOBAB. Am I? That seems like a lot.
Yeah, it is
I can't possibly sample 400 beers.
It is our highest category or our highest number of entries yet. We have just about 230 breweries from across the country. We have one from Argentina and one from Canada that are also participating this year. So we're really excited about that. The great thing, though, is that it's a lot of beer, but we also do have a growing selection of cider, perry, and mead.
Yes.
And so for folks that maybe aren't quite into beer, although I would say that the unique thing about barrel-aged beer is because the barrels that brewers are using are so unique, whether it's bourbon, whiskey, rye, tequila, rum, brandy, that you really do get a lot of those notes. And I know we'll dive into that a little bit. But so if you're not a huge beer drinker, but you really like whiskey or you really like wine, you're picking up those properties then in the taste that you're sampling at the festival. And so I think it's really meant for anyone that occasionally enjoys imbibing.
Yes, and it's something that's very unique because, as you mentioned, Danielle, it started out when the whole barrel age thing started, it was just bourbon barrels. That was the first one. And then, Kevin, you can probably speak to this. Over the years, as Danielle mentioned, now you've got people are ciders in gin barrels, and there's all these different kinds. And this has to be just another one of those examples of brewers going, all right, if this is good, maybe this will be as good or better or something else. And just like every beer has a different characteristics, every spirit has different characteristics as well. So what are you looking for when you go to put a beer in a barrel? How are you trying to mesh them?
Yeah, I think for us, it's balance. I think it's really important to, you don't want you don't want the barrel to overpower the beer, and you don't want the beer to overpower the barrel. So you mentioned gin barrels. We've, one of our most favorite barrel-aged beers we've ever made was a gin barrel-aged Saison that we aged in few spirits gin barrels. And, that one was all about balance, and it actually, we had to pull it out of the barrels quickly because had we left it in there, the gin and the barrel would have overtaken the beer. But we tasted along the way to make sure it's where we want it to be. And then you kind of assess it. We do tasting panels frequently on our barrels to make sure that they're where we want them to be. But with any, whether it's, I saw a story about somebody using a tequila barrel. You can use everything, tequila, rum, bourbon. Bourbon is the one that we use the most. We've done rye whiskey.
I've seen a lot of rye.
Yeah, those are really nice. We've used four local barrels from Koval. They have a four grain whiskey that's really nice and an oat whiskey.
Is it a one time use for these barrels?
We use them one time. We're working on trying to use some more. It's harder and harder to get barrels now.
Sure, because everybody's doing it, right?
Yeah, yeah. So finding single use spent from a distillery is not as easy as it used to be. So we're trying to find ways to reuse them. A lot of breweries, in the past, we've sold our barrels to our next-door neighbor, Dovetail.
Very nice. So, Danielle, when people come into FOBAB, which, again, is the 8th and 9th of November at the UIC Dorn Forum, which is 725 West Roosevelt, if you go to FOBAB.com, you can get all the information. Not only are they going to be just, it's overwhelming when you walk in. 400, you've got beer, you've got, as you said, ciders and meads and everything. It's not just for tasting, but these breweries are also competing. How many different categories? What are some of the things that are being competed for other than bragging rights like Beguile's over here?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we really talk about this as the premier competition and festival of barrel aged beers in the country, and so all of the beer, perry, cider, and mead that you can taste on the floor has been entered into the competition.
Okay.
And so the award ceremony, the judging takes place on Friday. We have over 100 certified judges. It's broken down into 12 categories. And then the award ceremony is Saturday at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon during that afternoon session. And so we have, golds, silver, and bronze in the 12 categories. And then we do a best of show and a runner up.
Okay.
And so that's really unique because then, and that's definitely our most popular session because we put a designation on the signs,
yes,
of the winners. And so, you have attendees that then are going crazy for those beers, that they have to try. And so it's fun though to see, I guess on the back end from our standpoint, looking at all the beers, all the entries and their descriptions and picking out, ooh, I want to make sure I try this one, or that sounds really interesting, and then kind of compare that with what the judges, deem to be the award winners. And we do something similar too, where the judges do take notes, and well, maybe we were talking about this offline, and I'm getting this confused, but the judges will take notes and provide those notes. We send those out to the brewers then to give them feedback on their entries. So that I think has been really compelling for breweries across the country to get involved, and that medal designation has become pretty unique.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
And tickets sell fast, so there are still tickets available for all three sessions.
Yeah, there are just a couple hundred left though for our Saturday afternoon session, and then we have a few hundred more than for the Friday night and Saturday night.
So go and check this out. Now, this is one of those, there's a reason that it's smaller sessions, because most of the barrel-aged beers are very high alcohol content, the mead, the cider, everything, and that's because they're pulling the spirits out of the barrel, right? Besides, I mean, they're usually pretty big beers that go into the barrel, and then they get the alcohol from the wood, and it just kicks it up another notch.
Yeah, when the barrels are delivered, they're still, the wood is still wet.
Right.
So you put a 10% beer in, and you never know what might come out. But it's cool because it picks up. You're picking up the flavors because you have a little bit of that residual liquid left over.
Very nice. Well, listen, we gotta take a quick break. But everybody needs to go to fobab.com, get your tickets for the Festival of Wood and Barrel Aged Beer. It supports the Illinois Craft Brewers Guild. It is a wonderful, wonderful festival. You will also get to taste and enjoy some of the gold medal winning barrel aged imperial pajamas from Beguile Brewing. So fobab.com, beguilebrewing.com, illinoisbeer.org. Those are the websites. Get your tickets. Thank you, Danielle D'Alessandro, for coming in, the executive director, and always good to see Kevin. We got to do this. Then it's news time, WGN. We have to say hello to our guest. For the last, I don't know. Andy will be able to tell us. For the last number of years, I have had the pleasure of being the host for Rockin' for a Cure to help the dad's chapter of the Leukemia Research Foundation raise money for a great cause. Andy Cole is on the board of the Dad's Chapter. He is one of the organizers of Rockin' for a Cure, and he joins me now on WGN. Andy, how are you?
Hey, Brian, how are you? It's nice to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. So I was trying to remember, you guys always seem to know, you guys always think I've been there much longer than I think I have been, but I've been...
I think it's about 55 years now, maybe 60,
right.
I'm not sure again.
Yeah, I am, I've been emceeing this event for, in utero, I started doing it. It is a great event, but for those who don't know, what is the Dad's Chapter of the Leukemia Research Foundation?
Well, we're one of 25, 26 chapters that are generally spread around the Chicago area, and we're part of the Leukemia Research Foundation, which is a charity organized about 70 years ago, and it's a local charity. It's right here in Chicago. Actually, it's based in Northfield, and it provides research grants and patient services and care for the relatives of patients that have not just leukemia, but all blood cancers. And so this organization has been around for 70 years. Actually, they just opened their first chapter in Atlanta, we just found out. So, but we've been around the group's been around for 70 years. Now, our group has not been around that long, but you've been around with us for almost as long as we have, because I think this is your 12th year with us at Rockin.
Maybe.
And we've only been around for about 15 years as a chapter, so...
Well, wow, then I almost got in on the ground floor. It is a great event. And for those who want to know about it, it is happening on November 19th, which is a Tuesday night.
It is, and you can vouch for this. And because you're there, it's actually true. This is not a stodgy charity kind of dreary event. This event really moves. It we call it Rock and Fur Cure, but it does rock. We'll have the modern day Romeos entertaining us, along with Brian Noonan handling all the MC duties. And it is fun. It lasts 2.5 hours or so, and it flies by. It's great.
It moves very quickly. And this year, you are back at Dirty Nelly's, which is 180 North Smith Street in Palatine. Allbloodcancers.org/rockin' is where people can get all the details.
Wait, I got a better place for it.
What?
If you go to facebook.com/rockinlrf. It's ROCKINLRF, which is Leukemia Research Foundation. So yes. facebook.com/rockinlrf. There'll be a link there where you can buy tickets.
Perfect.
And I hope we have all the, what do we call the people who are Brian Noonan followers?
Hostages? Prisoners?
Yeah, Noonies or
no,
Bry just, guys? What should we call them?
I think just some of the smartest radio consumers in America.
And it goes without saying, so you shouldn't have said it.
Well, that's, I have to say it. Sometimes I need to hear it myself. But it's a fun, all right, let's tell people, because this is always, you know, I always have fun with the raffles and the silent auctions. And the fine people at the Dad's Chapter are out beating the bushes nonstop, coming up with great, great auction items, silent auction items and raffle items. And a few of my favorite, always the giant Rice Krispies. There's a plethora. If you are a Lucy fan, there are always great Lucy prizes that you can bid on for the raffles. And then there's silent auction items. And every year it seems like you guys get more and more items donated to be part of this night.
We have a lot of wonderful people who are willing to help us with this. From supermarkets to restaurants to theaters. One of the things we have this year, we have GT Prime, is a dinner for four.
Ooh.
At Chef Giuseppe's restaurant downtown. And so, I mean, he is amazing, and he's a wonderful, talented chef, and he's going to prepare a special dinner for four to the lucky winner of that. We have Odyssey Cruises, a cruise out in Lake Michigan for dinner cruise for two. We have something new this year from Explosion. They have locations in Buffalo Grove and Lombard. And so you get to, if anybody was around when Johnny Carson at N. Ames did a Frontier Bris, well, you can learn how to do that at Explosion. You get to throw an axe at a target for a couple hours.
I
actually
went
there with our friend Captain Wingspan.
Yeah, Don is the Wingspan guy. We'll explain what that's about. The axe throwing is fun. We just did it. It's a ball. But Don is a guy. What's he now? I have a 38-inch sleeve. I think Don's has to be 39 to 40. He has what can only be described as a freakishly wide wingspan. And I mean that in the best possible way, because when you go to buy your tickets to drop in the raffle prizes, Don gives you a wingspan of tickets. You know, some places you go to some of these events, they'll go, oh, it's $5 for $10, or it's a dollar a ticket. No. What do you pay for a wingspan of tickets, Andy?
I think it's $30, but if you buy two wingspans, it's $50, so you get a discount there. And Don's reach
tickets.
Is pretty wide. I mean,
yeah.
he could play for the Bulls. I mean, he's got that wide reach. And his wife is very petite, and you know, so if you don't want to pay very much, you get a Paulette wingspan, which is about a ticket and a half.
Yeah, but go with the Don wingspan, because then you're getting a lot for your money. You're helping out the Dad's Chapter of the Leukemia Research Foundation, and you can drop your ticket in one of in a couple more items that you want to bid on. And there's always a lot. I haven't popped it open yet. Last year I won a very fancy bottle of tequila, very fancy. And I think it only took me six wingspans to get it, but I really, really wanted that tequila.
Get it open quickly, although it ages well. It really doesn't matter when you open it.
Maybe I'll just drink it I'm doing the MC duties on Tuesday the 19th at Rockin' for a Cure.
I thought you promised not to do that anymore.
Listen, it's the 13th year? That's unlucky for everybody. So still doing it. Modern day Romeos will be providing the entertainment. They did a great job last year. They were a lot of fun, a great dance band. And as you said, Andy, it's not a stodgy fundraiser. It's a lot of fun. Dirty Nelly's is a great venue. There's the beautiful private room with a big stage for the band. We're going to have a lot of silent auction items, a lot of great raffle items. And now are we a little food this year, too, for people when they come in?
Well, they can. They have a brand new menu at Dirty Nelly's. Everything is new kitchen, new chefs, new menu. So, you know, nobody's going to go away hungry. And if anybody, one of the nice things is that you're really accessible. So while the band is performing, and you and I are just hanging out at the bar. So people want to come and talk to you and. You're right there. So we have a lot of fun just talking to people who come up and listen to your shows and just want to meet you and hang out. This is great.
And listen, it's not for lack of trying, because all these years I've asked you for a private booth where I can be sequestered from people, but you say no, people want to say hello. And all right, so I'll do it. I'll do it to help out the Dad's Chapter of the Leukemia Research Foundation.
And the money has been going to great. First thing, the Leukemia Research Foundation has had the top rating from charity rating systems for the past several years. So
right.
The money really goes to where it's supposed to go to. And it's helping. People. The cure rates are going up and up more and more every year. You know, when years ago, leukemia was a death sentence to particularly the children. Now the cure rate in some of the leukemias are in the 90% and over range.
That's amazing.
And so this is what we're doing is helping to propel that even forward, so nobody suffers, and it's working. It's making a difference. So if folks, if you're out there and you have the time, this is a fun event, and you're helping out a great cause.
Yeah, so I hope to see everybody there. It's Rockin' for a Cure. It's put on by the Dad's Chapter of the Leukemia Research Foundation. If you go to Facebook, it is Rockin' LRF, and you can get your tickets there. It's $25 for one, a group of 10 you can get for $20 a piece. It's a great thing for a party. It's a great thing, you know, if your company wants to do something to help out. This is the place to come. It is going to be another fun night at Dirty Nelly's, which is in Palatine, right near the train station. So if you don't want to drive,
right there.
You get off the train, steps away.
And we want to say thank you to our corporate sponsor this year, Mutual of Omaha Mortgage, and Sam Price, who is very generous. And so we have them to thank, as well as if anybody would like to be a corporate sponsor, please get a hold of us through the Leukemia Research Foundation. We would welcome you.
And their website is allbloodcancers.org. So go to Facebook.
Oh, and by the way, we have from the Anthony Rizzo Foundation, we have an autographed picture of Anthony Rizzo. The Cubs sent us an autographed picture of Javi Baez. We have an autographed football from Chuck Pagano, who is himself a blood cancer survivor.
Nice.
And so it's a beautiful Bears football with Chuck Pagano's signature on it. And we have some tickets from the White Sox. And so plenty of stuff.
And you'll have a good time, and you'll know that your money is going to a great cause. So I want to see everybody out there Tuesday, November 19th, from 7 to 10 p.m., Dirty Nelly's in Palatine. $25 a ticket, 20 for groups of 10 or more. Then you get there, you buy your wingspan of raffle tickets, and you put them in for some great, great prizes. You bid on some silent auction items, and you listen to Modern Day Romeos. It will be a wonderful time. I want to see everybody there. Go to Rockin' LRF on Facebook to get your tickets right now. Andy, always a pleasure. I will see you on the 19th.
See you in a couple of weeks, sir. Thank you again. We can't thank you enough for all you do for us.
It is my pleasure. I will talk to you soon.
Take care, Brian. Thanks again.
You are very welcome. Again, that's Rockin' LRF on Facebook to get your tickets for Rockin' for a Cure. All right, let's do this. Then we got a few more minutes, and it's Blackhawks hockey time on 720 WGN. All right, Brian Noonan, we're here for a few more minutes, and then it is Blackhawks hockey on WGN. We love when the Blackhawks are back in season. Hopefully they will return to their winning ways. We'll see. You know, it's always fun to see. Roger Badish has wandered in. We haven't seen Roger in 6 or 7 months. Is that correct?
A couple of millennium.
We haven't seen. Yes, yeah. The Washington Capitals in town tonight to play the Blackhawks. By the way, yeah, it's been a while. How everything all right? You doing okay?
Everything's hunky dory.
Jim Dandy. Now you're here all night. You get to listen to the Hawks game. That's fun.
Yeah, it's going
to
be fun. And then Rakoga will be in, and I am special guest co-host.
I heard this. I wonder, how does this happen that you are co-hosting the old-timey radio show? What do they call it?
WGN Radio Theater.
Oh, is that okay? Yeah, right. I love it. I just never know the name of it.
Yeah, that's
I know
okay.
It's you know, Carl and Lisa hosting.
Yeah. Well, Carl's out of town.
How did you then weasel your way into being the co-host?
I didn't. I didn't try to. They just said, hey, would you like to do it?
Really?
Now, Dave Plyer filled in last night.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, right before his show. So he pulled a double shift.
Is that right?
Look at that.
It's like breaking rocks. I'm surprised he's not exhausted. That's horrifying. So play the and I always joke they do play the old timey radio.
Yeah, and it's great stuff. So we got some.
So this was right up your alley. You didn't have to do a lot of prep work for this. Am I right? You were ready to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because a lot of these shows, believe it or not, actually aired after I was born. So. I'm aware of many of them.
Let's also be honest, there wasn't radio before you were born.
That's true.
So that was,
I had to wait for him to
invent
that.
Right, you had to wait. And once Marconi figured out the medium, then you
were, I was born. Yeah,
old-timey radio shows. That's going to be fantastic. So what will you be showcasing this evening?
Well, we actually have an episode of Father Knows Best. I noticed.
Is that Danny Thomas?
We cannot see outside anymore.
This has changed. If you are along the lake, I wonder what's going on at Soldier Field, if the fog has rolled in on the
wasn't
Bears game.
Wasn't there a fog bowl?
There was a fog bowl game.
Yeah.
That was a Halloween night.
This is pretty darn
close.
Look at
that. But yes, it is. Wow, we'll have to see. Yeah. So anyway,
Father Knows.
Is this Danny Thomas? Father Knows Best.
No, it's not. It's Robert Young.
Robert Young,
who also
he was on
the
TV.
Right.
Oh wait, what was that? Make Room for Daddy was Danny Thomas.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
All the Daddy show. I have Daddy issues. I have issues with Daddy shows.
I
have issues with my own Daddy.
So
go ahead. What?
We're not going to. That's another show.
I'm a daddy who has caused issues.
Oh, so we've heard, but we won't get into that either. I do not reveal my sources. So Father Knows Best, but we're doing like Halloween related old time radio shows.
All right.
So this is a mysterious episode of Father Knows Best.
Really?
Yeah.
So do we not know if he actually knows best? Is that the mystery?
I think that might be the case. I think
Father,
it's called into question.
Father
on this episode.
Might know best. There may not be. He may not know. All right, so you're going to play that. What else are you going to play?
Let me double check because I've got the rundown, as we say.
Well,
you've
got
business.
About 30 seconds to get to it.
Yeah, well, that's not going to happen, is it?
All right. Well, listen. Find it. We'll do this. Find it, and we'll have a few seconds when we come back before we go to the Blackhawks broadcast. All right? So take a minute, find it, and then we'll figure it out. We'll tease it, as they say.
Tease it.
Hey, before we get out of here and Blackhawks hockey starts, we were talking about beer before. I have a prize. Yes, because we haven't been here in a long time. I have a prize. I have a pair of tickets to Silver Creek Rockin' Brew Fest. It's Saturday, October 27th from 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Why Eastern? It's because it's at the Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo. Over 20 local breweries, live music from Elton John and Tom Petty tribute bands. I was going to say, wow, that's going to be big. It's going to be hard. Tom Petty unfortunately passed away. But Elton John and Tom Petty tribute bands, you can get tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Rockin' Brew Fest, October 27th at Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo. I have a pair of tickets for callers 5 and caller 6 at 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. You will get a pair of tickets to Silver Creek Rock and Brew Fest Saturday, October 27th at Four Winds Casino, New Buffalo. If you don't win, go to Ticketmaster.com, Rock and Brew Fest. There you go. That'll be a lot of fun. So callers 5 and caller 6 will be going. Did you find out what the shows you're doing?
Yes,
you're
I did, other than quickly. Father Knows Best.
Quickly,
we
you got
have
about
an
30
episode
seconds.
Of Escape. And this one is starring William Conrad.
Oh,
yeah.
Cannon.
Yep.
Yep. All right.
So it's going to be pretty good.
Be good
we'll
one.
Be on at 11 till 1. and hope everyone can stay with us.
Well, sure. They're here now. They're going to be listening to the Blackhawks take on the Washington Capitals, then Rick Kogan, and then old-timey radio theater.
You got it WGN with an old-timey radio guy. Theater,
with an old-timey guy. Thank you for listening and being part of the program. We are not back next week, but I will be here Wednesday night from 10 until 1. I hope you can join us then, and I'll be back on November 1st, that Friday. So thank you, Cody. Thanks to all our great guests today. Don't forget, you can always find our podcast at WGNRadio.com. It is 5:30, and that means it's time for Blackhawks Hockey on 720 WGN.